friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Welcome, you guys. I'm so excited.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Jessica Everly and her husband, Brandon. And Jessica knows exactly how to tug at our heartstrings. You might know her from her debut, Roses in Rome, but she is back with a brand new soul-stirring novel called Lyrics and Love Letters that just hit the bookstores 2 days ago.
And please
really welcome,
cute, guys.
Yes, Jessica Everly. And because we also love real-life romance, just as much as fictional, we also have Brandon with us as well.
Hi, Brandon. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. The ultimate romantic over here.
I know. We'll put hearts above your head.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to wear my pink blazer.
Exactly. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't we start with, like, you just telling us a little bit about yourselves. How did you guys meet? Was it at a coffee shop? Did he see you across the parking lot? Like, what happened?
How romantic. Well, also, the first part of how we initially met was on Match.com, but this was 14 years ago. So this was like when you didn't tell people you're on Match.com. It was like not a thing. People didn't date online. And so I had just moved to Chicago that summer. I was just starting my trial with Match, and he was just ending his trial with Match. I saw his profile, and he was, first of all, so handsome.
Yeah.
He was also hilarious. His profile was so funny, and it was so different from what everyone else was putting out there. And I was living with my sister at the time, and she said, "You have to message that guy." And I told her, I do not message guys. They message me. So I messaged him. I ended up messaging him anyway. And you can tell about our actual date.
So, I mean, the timing was crazy. Like she said, I was getting off. I was kind of done with it. Living in Chicago, I was like, I don't want to do it anymore, the whole thing. And so my last message to her was like, here's my cell phone. My thing's ending. Like, hope to hear from you. Kind of one of those things. So she shoots me a text and I was like, hey, let's grab a drink or grab coffee, whatever. And she's like, let's meet at Barn & Company at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, great. So, you know, being the, you know, guy that I am, I'm like, I'm going to get there early and, you know, maybe have a drink, you know, loosen up a little bit. So I'm sitting at the bar and, you know, a blonde girl walks in, looks at me, turns around and walks out. And I was like, well, that was the fastest date I've ever had. So I'm just sitting there at the bar by myself and I'm like, well, I guess I'm just gonna drink. Probably need a shot after that one. Turned out she got the time wrong. And that was not her. And it was just a maybe water blonde girl who left. So 45 minutes later, she walks in and I'm feeling quite good by this point because I thought I got it up.
I love that you stayed.
Yeah. So I stayed and yeah, then we talked for hours and hours and we had a good night. So.
Yeah. And the part he didn't tell you that's kind of our like meet cute that you'd find in a book. Towards the end of our conversation, he made a paper ring and asked me to marry him on our first date. So luckily he was a good guy. I was like, haha, sure. You know, I was just, you know, thought it was funny. But you did tell me later. He said, I knew, though, that someday I would marry you.
I absolutely love it. Wow. Okay, so. I'm not in the closet about this. I'm a Swiftie. And have you guys listened to the song Paper Rings?
Yes. I've heard it.
I have not.
I
will tonight. I'll do it tonight.
Okay. Because here's the thing. Listen to those lyrics. Speaking of lyrics and love letters.
It's going to be your new song.
I mean,
yeah, Taylor was the other blonde who walked out. she wrote down our love story into a song.
Yes. I love it. But yes, I mean, that's kind of like your story. A little bit.
So then how did you guys move on from the first date? Like you guys had the cute little first date. Where did it go from there?
Well, I don't know. I think we were both ready to meet somebody at mm-hmm. this point in our lives. I was late 20s, I think, by this point. And it was like, so I'm a very blunt person. So it's kind of like, don't want to waste my time. Are you in? Are you out? One of those things. I met her family, actually. We met in October. Then her family came in for Thanksgiving. I lost my car keys the night before Thanksgiving, which is, lost them.
I know how that works.
I had fun in those days. And so like the first time me meeting her parents were like, hey, I have to borrow your car because I have to be at my grandparents' house in the suburbs for Thanksgiving. And I guess I smiled enough that her dad wasn't like, this guy's a total psychopath, degenerate, and won them over that day as well. So yeah, it moved pretty fast though. We only dated for 9 months and then we got engaged mm-hmm. and yeah. married six months later after that. And then a baby pretty quick after that.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're ready. When you know. It was that situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for That's sure.
So how did the wedding go?
It was great. So I'm from Iowa originally, and he's from Florida, and we got married in January. Florida wedding it was, not yeah. Iowa. Yeah.
That's when everyone's like, yes, we are there. We're going to go.
So, yeah, we got married down there. It was beautiful. We got married at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church down there, and we just went back this last fall and got to bring our kids to the church we were married in, which is it's such a special moment to be there.
Yeah, we left out. It was perfect. It was like 60 degrees and rainy the whole week leading up to our wedding. And then like as soon as the day before our wedding, it just was like 80 and sunny. And everyone stayed the whole weekend. We had a blast.
So where did you guys decide to live after that?
We're still in Chicago at that point. Cool. So we got an apartment together in Chicago, and then we had our oldest, our son, 9 months after we were married. We got pregnant 9 months, and then 9 months later he came.
So you guys kind of were in Chicago without very much family support or anything like that too. That probably had a big impact on your relationship. Was it kind of nice to have each other as your family? I mean, especially when you have a little bitty and so soon and you don't have the family around. I'm sure that can have a lot of good learning opportunities in it.
Yeah, it did. Although my mom was not afraid to drive 7 or 8 hours to be with her grandchild.
Yeah. Yes, I love it.
Well, you know, it sounds like you went over your parents already. So that there's,
Exactly. Yeah. No, we had a ton of fun. I mean, Chicago's a great city to be, you know, a young married couple with a young baby. It's just taking them everywhere. We took our oldest son, our first kid, to a Chicago White Sox game for when he was like 2 weeks old. I don't know. Everyone's like, why are you here with this like tiny baby? We're like, we don't know how to parent. We don't know. We don't know how we're doing. She had to get help from some lady in the bathroom to change his diaper. We figured it out.
Yeah. I tell my kids, I'm sorry, you're my first kid. Like, you didn't come with a manual. We're just doing the best we can here.
Well, and you guys have multiple kids, so you guys know too. Like, you know, you get one out and you're like, oh, I think I kind of know what I'm doing. And then life tells you, you still are clueless.
So, Jessica, how did you start writing and how does that work into your relationship?
So it really started with reading because I'm a huge reader and always have been. I've always loved books, all genres, all, you know, different times, periods, everything. So I started really reading a lot when I was young, and English was always like that subject that was easy for me and I enjoyed it. And then, so I didn't really write beyond like papers for school and that kind of thing. I became a speech pathologist. And so then I was writing technical papers and IEPs and all of that kind of stuff. But I had always wanted to write a book because I always thought, oh, that would just be so cool to be able to do that. Maybe that's something I'd be interested in doing. So I kind of dabbled in it for a little while. Just off and on, I would write. I kind of worked on a book that didn't ever become anything. And then when our youngest went to school, my husband, Brandon, he really was the one who said to me, you should write a book, because I was either going to go back to speech pathology or find another job or whatever it was that I was going to do. I wasn't sure what I was going to do at that time while all the kids were in school. And so he said, just take a year, see if it's something that you enjoy doing. And if not, then we can figure something else out. But maybe this is something you could be good at.
That's
and
so cool. So
during that year, I wrote my first book, Roses in Rome. Mm-hmm. And he was my first reader. No one had ever read anything I'd ever written before in book form. And he was the first one. And like he said, he's very blunt. So when he came back and said he thought it was good, I was like, okay, I think I have something. I could be good at this. So that's how I started writing and got into the whole novel writing.
I love that support. That is just key in any kind of relationship, no matter what you're doing. But writing is just kind of it's challenging. And so to have someone that can like be your champion, that's a big deal.
Well, and also still be really honest with you too, because it's like, you know, you want someone who's going to say, have you thought about this? And what about this? Or, you know, a guy would never do that. And you're shaking your head.
I said that a lot too, by the way.
Brandon, are you a romance reader?
Not so much. I'm looking at my books in the background here. It's like military, war.
World War II.
Yeah.
What did you think? What did you think about being introduced into romance novels?
I think it's fun. Like, listen, I think like anytime you have like a rom-com movie or something, like it's an enjoyable experience. Reading her first book, I was like, okay, what am I in for? She had me read, I'm blanking on the name.
Every Summer After.
Summer After. So we kind of do this thing where we'll read a couple books a year or something and talk about the book and like what we liked about it, what we didn't. It's just like a new, fresh way to like, you know, talk about something other than your kids, right? And so I read that book and I was like, this is like a fun book to read. Like, you know, yeah, I'm not going to read a romance novel every quarter or whatever, but we had fun talking about it and what's going to happen. What do you think's going to happen with the relationship? Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? And so when I read her book, I was like, candidly shocked, because in my head, I'm like thinking about having to write a book and I just can't conceptually get my head there. And I'm like, how did you do this? Like, how did you build the storyline and create the characters and connect the dots? And so I think I was so impressed. And then you're also like, was this, you know, part of the book about me or like another, like where are the references coming from? And so some of that's kind of fun to just. Yes.
Well, and that's one thing, that's one really thing that I love about your books and stuff is like, you do have a lot of that tension of, what's going to happen here? And then it's like, it's getting close. And you think, it's going to be the time. And you're like, nope, it's not.
You know, and I think that's, you know, why we do this podcast also is because romance is fun. It makes people happy. And it's neat that you kind of are experiencing that like together, like in a book group, you know, your own book group, reading a romance novel and just feeling the joy that it kind of brings.
Yeah.
It's not heavy. It's fun. It's light.
A great way to connect.
Oh my gosh. My wife is not only beautiful, she's brilliant and talented but to like discover this new thing about your partner.
Totally.
And it's like, whoa, because I mean, like, that's a huge moment of vulnerability because, like, you could have gotten something that wasn't worth reading and you're like, sweetie, honey. Yeah, no, I really liked how you said the dog was brown. That was awesome. You know? So, I mean, that takes a lot of trust within the relationship, too. And then,
and vulnerability.
Sure. Yeah. So it's also a happy story because it worked out well because your wife is a very good writer.
Absolutely. It's funny. I posted on LinkedIn, you know, just announcing her book. And like, obviously, I'm not usually posting on LinkedIn about romance novels. But it was like one of my most engaged posts ever. I had so many people like liking it. Like, this is amazing. Your wife's incredible. Like, I want to read it. I had so many customers come to me and be like, I'm buying her book right now. We'd be at dinner or whatever.
That's great.
So I had tons of customers bought her book. Tons of people I work with bought her book. Mm-hmm. So it's just been fun. I'm super proud of her. And everyone, anytime you tell someone your wife's an author, they're like, that's like, what? That's amazing. That's so cool. So it's fun.
So well, on that note, I'm just curious, what is your guys' favorite things about each other?
Well, I love that Brandon, his honesty is always number one for me because I never have to guess where I stand with him. I never have to wonder or walk on eggshells or anything because I know where I stand with him. It's such a good thing to find in somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, too, when we first started dating, the thing I loved the most, one of the things I loved the most about him was that I could totally be myself 100% and he loved that person. And I didn't have to pretend or like even put on like my best self. Like we always joke, I don't know why, but I will like drop things when I'm eating. It's so embarrassing. We were at the sushi and I like dropped the sushi roll and he noticed it right away. But I could just be I could be that messy self with him and he loved that person. And I felt like when you find somebody like that, and I felt that way with him too, like he could be his messiest self and I love him so much. It doesn't change how much I love him.
Genuinely appreciate each other.
Yeah.
I would say we have a lot in common, but we're very different stylistically. Like I am very, I don't know. I can be harsh and she's so empathetic and so loving. She's just like the ultimate mom caretaker, like always trying to make people happy, always seeing the best in everybody, always taking care of people. And I have historically not been that way. I'm impatient and I get frustrated quickly and I see flaws and that sort of thing. So it's just so nice to have someone who's always bringing positivity and a smile and just great vibes into the house. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, I come home from a hard day at work. It's stressful. It's tough. And to come home to a family of, you know, happy people is always a great experience.
So. That's pretty amazing, guys. Love it. Yeah. Well, should we get into some of the questions about the book?
Sure.
I am excited to hear both of your takes on some things.
Absolutely.
And it was such a fun read.
It was really fun read because it was truly one of those books where you're like, is it going to happen this time? Like, oh, man.
You had
The epitome of slow burn.
Yes. I loved like the three different phases and the what's going to happen and just how you got to see them grow as characters.
Yes.
Like you just did an excellent job with that.
I really like that too.
Just some really important times in a person's life and built the story around each of those phases. Teenager, young adult. It's because people change so much in the direction of their life and how romance fits into that and who you are. I think you really captured that very well.
And on that note, like this is not just a second chance romance trope. This is like a third chance romance trope, which you just don't ever see. So what kind of inspired you to write it that way?
So I think to kind of piggyback off of what you all were saying, well, they met when they're 15 and 16 years old. She's almost 16, but they're both very young teenagers when they meet. And as we know, there's so much of life that you have to experience beyond 16 years old. And so they were the epitome of the right person at the wrong time so many times. So I knew that their characters had to mature and they had to grow as a couple, but also as individuals, because they both had a lot of learning in life to do, especially with the ambitions that they had for themselves. Yeah. So I wanted that to take place over those significant times in your life when you are really going through huge life changes, and for them to not only, like I said, grow together as a couple, but also as individuals as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we always talk about friends turning into lovers and how important that is for people to establish that. And these two characters absolutely were friends and went through a lot of stuff together as well.
But also, like we always talk about, like the importance of self-actualizing and, you know, being true to who you are in order to actually show up better in the relationship. Yeah. And so I really liked watching your characters learning how to do that.
So the country star scene that happens, I am just curious because like that was just such a sneaky move.
And she kind of like, I was like, I thought she was cool.
You did. And it was a major turning point for the novel. It was like, that's kind of like the climax where it's like, is this or is this not going to work out? Like, I'm crushed. Was this like an entertainment industry kind of thing? Or was it, did the story need a villain for it to work?
I think both of those things are true. So I got to imagine in the entertainment industry, when you're surrounded by so many people who are telling you you're amazing all of the time, and there's all these good looking people and talented people and people who are helping you get where you want to go and are making lots of money from you and your talents, there is got to be a lot of temptation. And so I wanted to write that side of it into the story somehow, but still keep Boone as a good guy in that scenario as well. And so I think from that standpoint, definitely that whole entertainment lifestyle, I wanted to at least show a little bit of that. And then on the other side of it, yes, we kind of needed a villain because we needed somebody in there because everybody's pretty like good throughout most of the book. There aren't any, terrible, terrible things that happen. So we needed a little bit of that, but also a little bit of a spoiler, maybe. I do have in mind a possible redemption story for Millie, possibly down the road, kind of more of like about her past, probably, and why she's the way she is and why she does the things that she does.
That's fun.
So, yeah. So that's something that I have definitely thought about. And I guess we'll see when the book comes out if people absolutely hate her or if they're like, no, I want to know more about her. We'll have to see what the interval is.
I loved when Maleficent came out because I was like, everybody painted her out to be a witch. She had a heart.
Yes.
I love those redemption stories.
Well, and you can tell this character isn't bad because she has good, there are good times with her. Like she does have a good presence. It's just maybe when she's under pressure and in the limelight that she can't be true to herself.
Or she just wants to keep in the limelight. And sometimes, she's on her own growth curve there. So,
We're starting to write a story. I'm going to call you guys when I start brainstorming.
Yeah. We want it.
And then give her a happy ending. So make it a romance.
Yes. We'll do that too.
Of course. So for Brandon, there was a moment in the book where, Boone faces this career ending situation with the vocal nodules.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's kind of a dream crush. I was really like, oh my gosh, he's been working on this like since he was a kid. This was his dream. And now like he kind of has lost this dream. How did you feel about that? Seeing that happen to the
guy? I think it's so fun because when Jessica writes books, she has the opportunity to talk to me about like, this is what I'm thinking and how would you react to that? Or how would you respond? And is this real? And how do that, just all those things. And I think adversity is part of everyone's life, right? And I think that happens in, whether it was Roses in Rome or Lyrics and Love Stories, like there's just always these big kind of dramatic turning points that happen in these books that is, what happens when you have adversity in one place, you turn to someone or something that can comfort you and help you. And I think it's just a perfect way to encapsulate how life really goes down. And it's not always the easy way.
So I thought this was not scandalous, but some people might have thought it was scandalous. As I was reading about when she was in her college years, she was dating like all these guys at the same time. And she's like, I feel like this is kind of naughty. And her roommate's like, no, it's fine. And then it ended up blowing up in her face. And I guess it can be a little bit of a risky move to do that. But what were you hoping to show about her headspace during that time in her life?
So I really wanted to use that time in her life when she is with Connor Quinn and Boone. I wanted to show kind of what she thought on paper. This is what I need. On the flip side, what she really needed was someone like Boone. And I think it's so easy at that time in your life to think you know exactly what you want in life because you're making huge decisions. You're choosing a career. You're choosing possibly a life partner. There's all these things that are going on in your life that are major decisions. And so you feel pretty sure of yourself, even though you really aren't. She still had a ton of learning to do about herself, I think most importantly, but also about who it was she was looking for and someone she wanted to spend the rest of her life with. And I think she also had expectations from her family and what she thought they wanted her to marry, versus Boone, who at that time, he's just a handyman, right? He's not a famous musician. He's not anyone of any, you know, status at that point. And she comes from a family where status was important. Okay. And so I kind of wanted to show a little bit of the pressure that she was under to kind of choose somebody who was a little bit more like Connor, but that maybe that wasn't exactly the right match for her, even though he might have had these other things on paper.
Like the stable, you look good on paper, but
there's no connection.
No chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you use, like, she was writing books and he was writing love songs. And that connection that they had that way was just really sweet.
Well, and I think it's kind of fun to use books as kind of guidelines and try on how would I solve a problem. And I kind of liked how you showed Connor doing the right things. He took her to the fancy bookstore, but even the perfect thing from him wasn't quite as good of a fit as
Boone.
When she was with Boone, it didn't matter if their car was broken down. They were in the middle of nowhere. They could make an amazing time out of it.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was just some good things about how, yes, we have to be logical. We have to make these decisions, especially at that stage in life. But also you need to be aware of your feelings and what's really happening. And I don't think that she was at that point. I can understand why you pulled it back from us again, dang you, because she wasn't there yet. And so you didn't let our couple have their happy landing until they were ready for it. And it was earned. You didn't let us Hollywood movie it and pretend that all of the dysfunction was just going to disappear because they kiss at the end.
And at this time in her life, she isn't necessarily following her dreams of being a writer. Life does derail us sometimes because something is maybe more realistic or attainable, like being a nurse for her.
That's a very practical.
Yeah, it just maybe wasn't the best fit for her.
Did you feel that way when you were younger too? I mean, did you have an idea of maybe wanting to be a writer or?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, English was always kind of that thing that came so naturally and easily to me. But I came from a medical family background. My dad was a dentist. My mom was a dietitian. My sister became a doctor. You know, we had a medical family and I felt like, well, where do I fit in this medical thing? I can't do so I'm going to do speech therapy.
That is probably the closest to writer that you could get in that.
It is. It really is. Because I was really good at phonetics. So I chose that route and not, I kind of, similar to Liz, I loved that route. I loved my patients. I loved working with the people that I worked with while I was working in that field. But was it the absolute best fit for me in the long run? Like, probably not. You know, I think that I did that at the time because it was smart. I needed to have a job.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to go on to graduate school. I wanted to get a higher education. And I felt like that was probably the best fit for me to come out with a good job, as opposed to an English degree and have nowhere to go. So I think in a way that was definitely a reflection of myself in choosing the smart route, which isn't a bad idea. But I also didn't take the time to pursue maybe some of those other things that I love to do. I stopped reading, you know, books outside of textbooks. Even though I wasn't writing at the time, maybe I would have discovered that if I had continued to read more, if I had continued to pursue something in English, then I may have found writing earlier in my life.
Okay, I have a what if question for you. What would have happened if they had not had the disconnect? Do you think she still would have gone down that road? How much was they needed to discover themselves, or how much do they help each other discover themselves?
That's a really good question. I think had they not had the disconnect that they had, I think she would have kept writing, because I know Boone would have encouraged her to keep doing that. He would have told her, you can do both. Why can't you do both? You know, I think he would have helped her to see that she could do it, because he also provides a lot of confidence in her for herself. The way that I wrote her character in the beginning, she's kind of nerdy a little bit. She's a bookworm. She's an introvert. She's got glasses and braces and all of, you know, the great stuff when you're 16. She's got all of that going on. And so I think when he just saw this girl who is amazing and beautiful and smart, and he showed that to her. She saw that when she was with him. So I think had they stayed in touch, he would have continued to encourage that fire for writing in her.
I love that they did that for each other, that they encouraged each other, that they kind of wrote, you know, like little love songs to each other. So if you guys were going to pick out a love song, a country love song specifically, has to be country, to kind of like sum up how you feel about each other or your relationship, what would it be?
And it
can't be my exes live in Texas.
No, it's not that.
That would not be it. I feel like I'll get myself in trouble with this and say something inappropriate. I'll let Jessica answer the PG version.
We love inappropriate.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe for a second, could you just hold off for a second?
She should plug her ears.
I'll cover her eyes on the screen so she can't
see.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know. What do you think?
I would say about us, it's not as well known, but it's a Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, I Need You. Have you heard that song?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that song. And I saw them when they were on their Soul to Soul tour and they sang that and he puts his hand on her leg and the crowd went wild. And anyway, oh, I wish that would happen. No, but I love that song because it is so much about you need this other person because they really do compliment you in such a way that it just makes life so much better and richer. And that's how I feel about you.
Great choice.
Yeah. So He's the love in your lyrics.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, fun fact too. All my kids love my singing better than Jessica's, even though she's an Iowa pageant opera singer back in the day. And clearly I do not have a good voice, but that's one of my superpowers with my kids.
Yes, it is. They prefer his voice over my 13 years of training.
It's like rapid tires because these are good. These are goodies. What is the most romance novel thing that has ever happened in your real relationship? Yes.
I mean, I feel like it was the first thing when I did the ring out of the napkin. Like, how corny is that? Like the fact that she responded to me the next day is actually kind of crazy to think about that.
Well, and the Taylor Swift song needs to be playing the background.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that you're like, she walked in, she looked at me and turned around and walked out.
Yeah. I was like, well, that kind of sums up my dating life. So, you know, that makes sense. I don't know. We had like such a good time on our honeymoon. I always go like, think back about that, like in Hawaii. We were climbing this mountain, this hike or whatever. And it was like, I was the scared one because I'm terrified of heights. And like, he's like, come on, babe, it's going to be okay. Like you can get through it. But we always do this, like we try and every year do like just a her and I trip to just get away from the kids and kind of like rekindle the candle a little bit, like rekindle the spirits and feel young. So when she wrote the book, we went to Nashville and we just like hung out in the bars and did the whole scene. And so I think we just, you know, we try and in my wedding speech, we read this book, we read a bunch of books, but one of them was like after a couple years, like the honeymoon phase ends, right? And then like marriage happens. And one of the things we always committed to is like, let's never let the honeymoon phase end, right? And so that's easier said than done. Like marriage is hard and kids are hard and whatever, but that's you got to find fun ways to keep it fun and exciting. And our trips are always those moments for us.
Yes, definitely to have a successful relationship. You guys are obviously projecting like you want to have a good relationship and it takes work. But what steps do we need to take to make it work? Like what before it fails? Before, you know, things go awry, we don't want to go down that road. We want to be proactive in making this relationship. But I just love that about you guys.
Sometimes we forget to be playful with our partners and like, okay, we're going to make sure that we remain playful.
Well, Jessica, this is why you can write such amazing books is because you have such a great relationship yourself. And you know, he's your muse, right?
Yes, he is.
Love it. So what message do you hope that your readers take away from this book?
People will really take the right place or the right person in the right time. It has to be the right time.
Yeah.
Because like Brandon said, even the timing of our relationship, I was just beginning match, he was just ending match, and it was the perfect time for us to be together. So I think with this story too, even though they meet when they're really young, they weren't ready for each other.
as much as Boone was always 100% in, he really wasn't ready for her and she wasn't ready for him. And they had to continue to grow until the timing was right. So I think, you know, if any young ladies or men are reading this book and they are feeling like, I really want to meet that person, it's okay, because the timing maybe isn't right for your person or it's not right for you. And the only thing you can do during that time besides read romance books is to really work on being the best person that you can be, and to be so that when that person is ready for you, the timing works and you're together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great advice.
That is. Yeah. I love it. This is one piece of advice you'd give to Liz and Boone if you could talk to them during those lost years of silence?
Thanks. Similar to what I just said, to really work on who it is that you are and who you are wanting to be when that person is ready for you. So Boone always thought that he wanted to be this famous country singer, and that was going to be his ticket to happiness. And Liz always wanted to be this famous romance writer, and that was her ticket to happiness. But the reality was they had to grow in themselves as individuals and experience life and fail a lot in life to become the people that they needed to be for each other. And in the end, love was the most important thing. It wasn't being famous. It wasn't making it or even achieving this big dream that they had. It was that they had to learn to love each other in a way that they were ready for.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually was so worried that you were just going to hand over this instant success for Boone. And the first novel she ever wrote, it was like, a bestseller. I was really happy that you didn't do that.
Me too.
Because then I would have been like, oh, please.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You worked really hard. And they grew from those experiences. And I think you just nailed it. Like, you have to grow.
Well, and that's such as life. I mean, there are hurdles that we have to, you know, jump over constantly. Nothing is easy. But those hurdles makes us stronger, smarter people, and more sympathetic to your partner sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We do need to go through tough things.
I know.
I prefer not to. I don't know. We just
It makes you better. It makes you better. It makes you better in the end.
Yes. So where, if our listeners were to go find your book that just came out.
Yes.
Where could they go? Where could they find it?
So all of my books are on Amazon. You can get paperback versions of both Lyrics and Love Letters and Roses in Rome. They're also available as an ebook through Kindle or Kindle Unlimited. If you're a Kindle Unlimited member, you can read them for free on there. And then my website is jessicaeverlybooks.com. My socials are, Instagram is where I'm most active. I post probably the most things. Yes. Instagram is where I'm usually hanging out. Yeah. And my handle there is Jessica Everly Writes, U-R-I-T-E-S. And then I'm also on TikTok, which I'm like trying to figure out. My son is helping me navigate.
Right?
And I'm Jessica Everly Books on TikTok. So
yeah, as are we. It's like, this is all, and we're like, oh, I don't know how to do that.
I know. I was like, no dancing. I am not dancing.
I'm going to make a book talk for you.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll see.
Ooh, all right.
That's one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah.
I'm stupid about it.
Like, oh my gosh. Well, I've used Daylight. I don't even know how many TikToks I've used Daylight for. The song by Taylor Swift.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys are just so inspirational.
Yeah. Oh, it was such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
I love reading the book and meeting you. It's just been so wonderful.
Yeah, you get to have a beautiful love story. Oh, but I just want to ask. So we have one last question.
Oh, we do.
There's always this last thing. Okay, so we know there might be something coming out about Millie, maybe. Any other books brewing in your brain?
I have started on the second companion novel to Lyrics and Love Letters. If you had some favorite side characters, they may be getting their own love story.
Like, I don't know if you can guess. Best friend and a brother. Just
maybe.
Maybe an aunt. Maybe a favorite aunt.
Oh, yeah. This could be really fun.
Oh, yeah. The brother. Yeah.
There's possibly.
Yeah. I mean, like, where can we just put in our favorite? Like, just keep the universe growing.
Yes. The Butler family had, I think, 6 kids. So I've got a lot of options.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, his sister, Sandra's the best friend.
Yeah. We get
so many possibilities. Yeah,
I know. So I will, I'm going to include all of the, your contact stuff in our show notes too. Okay. And for our listeners, yes, you can go to our website and I have an author's page with links to everything as well, or you can reach out to us to request an interview or share your love story. All that good stuff. Coming up, we are going to be reviewing a nonfiction book on the other end of things, like How to Save Your Marriage.
Oh, yes. Reasonable ways.
Because sometimes you go through hard times, we need to figure out how to fix them, and we need help.
Yes.
So we thought it'd be fun trying to read a nonfiction. So that's what we were going to review the next upcoming one. So
I'm Valerie.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been My Perfect Romance.
Happy romancing, everyone.
XOXO.